بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمد عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله We are now on lesson number 58 discussing the wisdoms of action pertaining to tayammum. Alhamdulillah, in lesson number 57, we discussed about why is tayammum done with sand and why is there no difference between tayammum for wuzu and the tayammum for ghusl. And also that in severe weather, cold conditions, then one is allowed to perform tayammum. Inshallah, now we discussed about tayammum does not apply only to journeys. And why are the feet not included in tayammum? And the method of performing tayammum. In the verse of tayammum, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, if you are ill, that means unable to use water, on journey, then perform tayammum with clean soil. The clause on journey is not a precondition for the permissibility of tayammum. Tayammum can be performed when water is unavailable regardless of whether a person is traveling or not traveling. The journey is mentioned in the verse because water was generally unavailable to the Arabs when on journey. And the mere mention of a journey was enough to turn their thoughts to the scarcity of water. That is why I mentioned that the person should plan, especially when a person is going out in areas where there will be no water. These days there are many who are making such journeys, just like how the Arabs were making journeys. And for them it was a norm, because in those days the availability of water was extremely scarce. Now these days those who are traveled between Jeddah, Medina, Makkah, that there are enough restrooms, petrol stations, supermarkets, restaurants, toilet facilities, and all that has tremendously, vastly improved. There were some times which I have seen personally that if you were traveling between Medina, Makkah, Jeddah, or between Jeddah and Medina, and you happen to go to a toilet, then you postponed everything. But these days, alhamdulillah, a lot of improvement has been made. That the facilities are good, the amenities are clean, there are water facilities. Now there is no real shortage of water. Yeah, in South Africa too, and in countries where we are listening, many countries we have do not have this difficulty of water. And that is why we have become so neglectful, and we have become non-appreciative. Because of plenty water, we do not understand the value of water, and we do not understand the value of not having water. I remember giving one speech one day in the Germiston location, and at that time that was the only Jummah facility in that area. And now, alhamdulillah, there is that area plus the town facilities. And whilst I was giving the Jummah talk, and now I was rounding up the talk, one brother stood up and said, "Mufti Sahib, can you carry on talking? Because water has been cut off, and there is no water. And can you carry on? Because many people who have come are in need of wuzu, and we have to now go and start looking for the water." So I carried on, and I remember that day I had to speak for normally in Jummah in South Africa, maximum you speak for half an hour, and that day I had to carry on for another half an hour, so that they had to source water, make wuzu. And fortunately they were able to source water, and then people came to realize that what is the value of water. So the rule is that whether you are in journey, or whether you are stationed, whether you are musafir, whether you are muqim, then you are allowed to make tayammum. The question arises, then why are the feet not included in tayammum? Although the feet are washed in wuzu and ghusl, they are not included in tayammum. Those of you who have made tayammum some part of your life, then you know that you do not make tayammum on your feet. They are not included in tayammum. Those of you who have read it in the textbook, you'll know that the explanation rendered and provided does not include the feet in tayammum. Why so? This is because the feet generally get dirty, and instructing that the hands be passed over them would not be achieving something different with the purpose of focusing the attention of the soul in that direction. Because the face, the hands stay clean comparison to the feet, instructing that the hands be passed over them focuses the attention of the soul on the fact that some form of cleanliness has taken place. Now again we are back to the rule that Islam is pure, loves purity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to put your hands on a area which is going to be generally dirty and soiled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to pass your hands on an area, the face and the hands, which are generally clean compared to the feet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to do something that you will not feel comfortable about, and your soul will not be happy about it. Your soul will not be happy that you take your hand and now dust it in sand and apply it to the feet, which are generally soiled and dirty because of their position and exposure. And your soul, your exposition and your feeling, inner feeling, will not be comfortable with that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave it out. And your feet, your hands and feet, which are generally, relatively, in comparison to your feet, much cleaner. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sharia is saying, make tayammum and pass your hand on over your face and your hands, because your soul would not mind doing that. and your soul will be happy in doing that, and you will not find any abominability in doing that or detestment in doing that. Now the method of performing tayammum is very simple. There are several methods of performing tayammum reported in the ahadith. Verbal statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard, as well as his practical demonstrations, appear to be varied. The method of performing tayammum, according to majority of the juro consultants, the fuqaha, is to strike the hands on the ground with the intention of tayammum, and to then pass the hands over the entire face without leaving out any portion, even to the extent of hair's width. Thereafter, strike the hands on the ground and pass them over both arms up to the elbows without leaving out any portion, even to the extent of hair's width. This is the preferred method according to the Hanafi and Shafi schools of jurisprudence. So, there are three things to worry about. One is the intention that is important in tayammum, contrary to wuzu or ghusl. And secondly, it is three strikes. One strike, you may just take your two hands, strike it on the ground, and pass it over the face. And cover the entire face without leaving out any portion, even to the extent of the hair's width. Then you strike again, and now you pass the hands over the arm, for example the right arm, up to the elbows without leaving out any portion, even to the extent of the hair's width. Then, third strike, you strike the hand and then you dust it and pass it over the left arm up to the elbows without leaving out any portion, even to the extent of hair's width. This is the Hanafi and Shafi method of making the tayammum. That is the method which they have extracted from the ahadith and method of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayammum is valid for janabat as well. According to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, tayammum cannot be made for ghusl and may be used to purify a person from hadas asghar only. They substantiate this opinion with the verse of the Quran stating la masuhul nisa, by assuming that the word namastahum, touching each other, means touching. They therefore state that the verse is discussing factors that nullify wuzu and not ghusl, and tayammum is valid only as a substitute for wuzu. However, the hadith which we are going to narrate proves otherwise. Hazrat Imran radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that they were once on a journey when Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he led the salah, when they were with Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the salat. After completing salat and turning around, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed a person sitting apart from the rest and who had not joined in the salah. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba, they were on journey, Hazrat Imran radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the Salat. After leading Salat, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around. When he turned around, he saw one person sitting aside, and that person had not joined in Salah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him why he did not join the Salat. He replied that he was in the state of Janabat, and water was not available for a bath. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, then use some sand, meaning perform tayammum, which will suffice for you. So here it is clear that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying tayammum suffices and is valid for janabat as well. And when we have got a hadith clearly stating that the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly stating that the tayammum with sand is sufficient for janabat also, then there is no question about it. And that hadith comes in Bukhari and Muslim. Number two, the hadith of Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has passed above also proved that tayammum is an adequate substitute for ghusl. In the previous lessons, the hadith of Hazrat Ammar had passed by, wherein it is stated clearly that the tayammum suffices for wuzu and ghusl. Now for an injured person, can he combine ghusl and tayammum? Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala reports that they were once on a journey when a stone caused one of them to sustain a wound to his head. It then happened that he became into the state of janabat and needed to take a bath. Upon asking his companions whether it was permissible for him to perform tayammum instead, they concurred that it was not because he was able to use water. He then took a bath, which resulted in his death. When this incident was reported to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained they killed him. May Allah destroy them. Why did they not ask if they did not know? The cure for ignorance is asking. It could have sufficed for him to perform tayammum, to tie a bandage over his wound, make masa over it, and then wash the rest of his body. Now, just as tayammum is a substitute for washing the entire body, it is also a substitute for washing a single limb. Tayammum has the capacity of removing janabat from a single limb, just as it has the capacity to remove janabat from the entire body. And it is this capacity that is being employed in this hadith. While the washing removes janabat from the rest of the body, the tayammum removes janabat from the wounded area. There is therefore no question of carrying out a substitute tayammum together with the thing it is meant to substitute, ghusl. Now, according to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, a person needs to assess whether most of the body is affected or not. If the affected portion of the body is less, then the body needs to be washed and masa be made on the affected area if it is harmful to wash it. However, if most of the body is affected with sores, for example, And it will be harmful if it is washed. Then tayammum will be made without any washing taking place. And this is exactly what we have stated, that when tayammum has the capacity, potentiality and ability to suffice for the whole body, then it will suffice for part of the body. Because if tayammum can cater for the entire body when it is in the state of janabat, then tayammum will cater and take care of the body that has been, the limb that has been injured. It is only reasonable and logical, because when tayammum can suffice for the whole body, it will suffice for the limb as well. Number two, the question may arise that when tayammum removes janabat from the wound, why is it necessary to make masa over it? The same reply is given here as was given in the discussion on masa on hufain leather socks. The masa is made only to remind the person that the area needs to be washed, and acts are a substitute for washing. It is the same thing. The tayammum is made, as we have explained, to give us the reminder. This is not carefree. This Shariat is not carefree and so lax or easy. It is easy, but not so easy. So when a person cannot find now the water, or is sick, or if he makes wuzu, using water is going to increase the sickness, then it is not now it is chutti, you don't have to do anything, but you'll have to imitate the original. And this imitation of the original will remind a person of Allah, and it'll create Allah consciousness, and it'll remind the soul that washing is supposed to take place, but now we are making tayammum. So the bandage is there. The question that why make the masa over the bandage? Why just leave it? No, making the masa will remind us that originally we're supposed to be washing here, but because of incapacitation and because of need and necessity, because the bandage is there, and because we cannot reach now the skin, therefore we are now going to make masa pass that area over with wet fingers, so that we create a reminder in ourselves, and our soul is reminded that Allah wants us originally to wash it, but has granted us leniency and easiness and comfort, and we are just making the masa. So because we have to be reminded all the time of Allah, and this reminding all the time of Allah brings us closer to the malaika, which are pure, and because they do not forget Allah for a single moment, we also have to develop this in us, that we also must not forget Allah for a single moment. That is why we have all this masnool askar. Before eating, read this. While eating, read this. When you finish eating, read this. Going to toilet, read this. Coming out of toilet, read this. Putting the shoe, read this. Taking off the clothing, read this. Looking at the mirror, read this. Going on the journey, read this. A little bit of the journey, read this. Why we have, and if you go to my website, alislam.co.za, you'll find one book called Masnoon Duas. And Duas made easy. For every occasion, why Allah Ta'ala, the Shariat is giving us Duas? That we have to read these Duas, so that we remember Allah. The whole idea is to remember Allah 24 hours. That before going to sleep you read this, when you get up you read this, if you have a nightmare you read this. And the idea, concept, and ideology is that buying, selling, not only in the masjid that we think of Allah, but in our entire 24 hours, we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we begin to implement His Shariat. That when we think of Allah all the time, then when we speak, we'll think of Allah. Then we will not gossip, slander, lie. Then when we walk, we will walk with humility and not with pride and arrogance. Not with our shoulders swaying and our stomach protruding and chest protruding, but walk with humility. When we talk, we will talk with humility. And we will smile and we will not display haughtiness and arrogance. And every part of our life will be in conformity to the Shariat, our buying, our selling, our sitting, our walking, our wheeling and dealing, our salat and our zakat, our hajj, our fasting. Everything will be in conformity to Shariat. Our economics and politics, our social life, all will come into conformity to Shariat. When? When we realize that we have to be having the presence of Allah Ta'ala all the time. And this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the difference. That is why the Shariat is saying that make masa on the bandage. Simple action. But there is a lot of wisdom and philosophy behind it, because when we making masa, we could just leave it. That listen, we have made already tayammum, or we have made wuzu for the entire body, parts of the body except where the bandage is. So we could just leave it and carry on with the life. But no, Shariat wants us that no, make masa there. Why when we make masa, we are going to think of many things. First of all, we are going to think that the original was, I supposed to be washing this area. If there was no bandage, I was going to wash it. I am not washing it, secondly, because there is a bandage. Thirdly, I cannot reach the skin because there is a bandage. And fourthly, that now I am going to make masa so that I do not forget the presence of Allah. And this presence of Allah, that differentiates a good Muslim from a disobedient Muslim. All what we see around us going around, the sin that is being perpetrated, the disobedience that is taking place, all that is happening is because that the presence of Allah Ta'ala has been forgotten. A person will not rob or steal if he has the presence of Allah. A person will not commit adultery, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality if presence of Allah Ta'ala is present. A person will not cheat, rob, decoy, purposely break his pledge if he knows Allah is present and watching him and knowing what he's doing. A person will not do anything wrong in political affairs, economical affairs, social affairs, if he has full conviction that Allah is watching me, Allah knows. A person will be straight as an arrow. But when a person forgets, becomes neglectful, becomes disobedient, and becomes transgressing in nature, and when the soul now becomes rebellious, and the heart now becomes black, full of sin, black sins of dot, then the person becomes rebellious and sinful. Why? The person forgets that Allah knows everything and Allah is watching me. And the simple action of masa displays that the person must be at all times realizing that my Allah is watching me and my Allah will take stock of me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is all-powerful. Inshallah, when we come back next week, we will discuss the Yamum is a perfect purity. And then we will go on to the etiquette of relieving oneself. That means when we go to toilet, Shariat is complete. That when we go to toilet, how to do it, which is full of mannerism and ethics. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.